The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I just think, generally speaking, you look at our organization, and what we are attempting to do is to be a consistent winner and to be a team that represents the city of Houston in a way that everybody can be proud of, and to win a championship, okay? So I think we have done a lot of that. You know, we've been consistently winning here. We've won two division championships. We won four out of the last six. So we're doing that. We haven't won the championship, and that's what everybody expects. That's what we expect, and that's what we're working to do. And so I think that's, you know, that's the context of how we look at it. Bill and I think when you look at what we've done, you know, together over the last 3 years, I think it's a part of that success, you know. And so it's not by any stretch of the imagination enough, because the championship is the end all to be all. And that's why we're in this business, and that's what we're committed to do. And we're working every day to do that. So we don't pay a lot of attention to what other folks are saying. I think it's just important to be consistent in the building and to work, to be in concert, making sure that our coaches and scouts understand what we're looking for, and that our folks that are executing all of these processes, whether they be, you know, what we're doing in the weight room or how we're developing our draft process and preparing for that, that everybody's on the same page and moving forward, and that everyone has a vision of what we're looking for and what we're trying to get accomplished. And I think we do a good job of that.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two. Rick Smith again. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go.
I'm curious if you have the same opinion that I do about something that he said there.
Well, first of all, I will say this. They are consistent winners. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7.
Well, that's where my question comes from. Do you consider a team that's consistently 9-7, do you consider that a winning franchise?
Yeah, although,
because I look at 9-7 almost the same way I look at 8-8 and 7-9. Like, to me, you need to win double digit games to be considered a winning franchise.
Well, do it occasionally. If you go 9-7 3 years in a row and then reel off 12, yeah, you're a winning franchise.
Like, I just think, like, would the Packers consider 9-7 a winning season? Would that be great for them? Would the Patriots be okay with 9-7?
No, but you're talking about the elite teams in the league.
I'm talking about winning organizations.
I think, yeah, but those are elite organizations, AJ. That's not just winning organizations. I mean, those are two of the best in the league year in, year out.
Those are teams that compete for Super Bowls,
right?
Which is what you're hoping to win eventually, anyway, right?
That should be the goal, and of course, sounds like it's a goal, but. No, I mean, I consider them a winning franchise, but I don't consider them a contending franchise. And I think, you know, there are layers to this and levels. And as far as they're concerned, I kind of put them there with, you know, maybe a step below the Chiefs, who generally will go 9-7 in a bad year, but then they'll win 11 or 12 one year. But they don't get very far in the playoffs most of the time either. So I kind of put them in that, or like the Bengals, who seem to make the playoffs every year except for last year, but don't really go anywhere. They're kind of in that group. They're winning teams, but they're not contending teams.
Okay.
And they're pretty consistent with that. I mean, they've been, you know, the 2-14 notwithstanding, you know, they've been pretty much the same team. The problem is you got to take it to the next level. And how do you do that?
I think over their history, they've been, because to me, if you finish, like, in my opinion, there's three kinds of seasons. There's that 7-9 win type season.
Yeah, where you're in
you're a middle of the road type team.
You're middle of the road, you're in the playoff hunt till the end of the season, basically.
And you're probably not winning a championship.
Nobody's winning a championship like that.
Then there's, you win 10 or more games, which in my mind, that makes you a contending team.
Yeah.
And then there's those.
I would almost say 11.
Okay.
But still.
And then I think, well, you might be right. You, it may be that 6 wins to 10 wins range is where you're mediocre. 11 is you're a contender, and 5 or less and you're dog mess.
Right.
You're garbage.
You're trying to get a quarterback in the draft.
And almost if you judge it on that from like the years that they've won between 6 and 10 games, that's almost all of the franchise's history. They've won more than 10 games once ever. And they've lost more than or they've lost or they've won less than 6 a handful of times, mostly early on.
Right.
In fact, before the 2-14 3 years ago, you had to go back to the last time they were 2-14,
right,
which was 2005.
Right.
And then their first 2 years. That's the only times they've lost less than 6 or
yeah,
1-6 or less.
In the first couple of years, I think.
You don't even count those.
Yeah.
But I think they're consistently mediocre. And, you know, you can break it down. Well, they're 9-7 in the last 3 years. So they're 27-21 in the last 3 years. So they're a winning franchise. Well, okay, what if you go the last 4 years? Then suddenly they've got a losing record over the last 4 years.
I say, how long has Rick Smith been here? Because I would go back to the beginning of the Rick Smith era, and then I would look at the record then.
Okay.
And if you have a winning record, okay.
My guess is it's going to be
close to 500.
It's going to be about 500.
Yeah.
I do think that one thing that they've got going for them here is they've got an extremely loyal fan base. And
that buys into everything they say.
They do. Whatever you tell them, they're going to buy it. They bought that Brock Osweiler was great.
They're buying into Tom Savage.
They bought that Ryan Mallett was great the year before. I mean, whatever you throw out there and you put that bullhead on the side of, they'll buy into it. So you've got that going for
you. Toro's going to be playing quarterback.
But the reality is, this is a – so what he said about the it's a team that the city of Houston can be proud of. I guess that depends on the day, because I'm sure there were honestly, I don't know how much – I know last year in the playoffs or 2 years ago when they played the Chiefs, no one was proud that day.
No, not when you get beat 30-0.
I don't know how many people were really proud when they beat the Raiders in a battle of, you know
– Well, I think people felt like, okay, they should beat this team because they're down to a third-string quarterback. But I don't know how proud they were when they went into New England. And although a lot of them bought into they were in it in the fourth quarter. Just Brock Osweiler melted down.
So I don't know. This is a team with a history of pretty violent playoff losses. at least their last three.
But see, that's the thing that I think is missing is, and yes, they get to the playoffs, and yes, they've been 9-7, and they get there. But at no point have they had a playoff loss where you say, man, they were so close in that one. They might be ready to take that next step finally.
Really, their closest playoff loss was the first year they made the playoffs when they lost to the Ravens.
Yeah.
And they weren't the final score was, I think, a touchdown, but it wasn't a close. They weren't competitive with that team. The Ravens were better than them.
Yeah, the Ravens were a better team that year. But in general, especially in the O'Brien era, when they've lost in the playoffs, then it hasn't been competitive. So you don't feel like, you know what, this team was close. You know, a couple tweaks here and there, and they might be able to get over the hump next year.
Right. There weren't a couple tweaks that would have made them better than the Patriots last
year.
No. There weren't a couple of tweaks the year before that would have made them better than the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs, they defecated on them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know. I don't know if they would have beat the Raiders last year if David Carr were, or if Derek Carr were
around. Yeah, I don't know that they would have either, but we'll never know, and that's part of it when you get there is having people healthy. But it still comes back to what are you going to do at quarterback? And here's a quote that Rick Smith had that kind of I'm going to read this, and I want to get your reaction to it. It says, are you comfortable with Tom Savage being the starter, and do you like everything about him?
You want me to play it?
By the way,
Rick Smith's been the general manager since 2006. You're never going to guess what the winning percentage is for the Houston Texans since 2006.
500.
Yes. 88-88.
Ah. There you go. All right. So this is on him about Tom Savage being the quarterback?
I do, John. I do. I think he's proven that he understands this offense. I think he's proven that he can play at a high level in the offense. He's been injured, and so you know, he hadn't had an extended amount of time to do that. But I am comfortable with that.
How? Okay. When has he proven that he can play at a high level in the offense? That's what
Never.
I mean. He says, I think he has proven that he can play at a high level in the offense.
The reason why he says that is because he realizes there's no alternative.
And I get that.
Because he didn't bring anybody in that's better than Tom Savage. So, this is going to really piss Texan fan off. I don't know if Tom Savage is better than Brandon Whedon. I don't.
I don't either.
I know his last name's Savage, and he's got the upside because we haven't seen him totally suck like we've seen Brandon Whedon totally suck in his NFL career. But if you told me in 5 years we'll measure Tom Savage's career against Brandon Whedon's, if you told me Brandon Whedon had the better one, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
No, he's got a better pedigree for coming out of college.
Yeah, he's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So why – the reason why everyone is sold into Tom Savage or everyone is bought into him is because there's not really another option. Because it's easier to sell someone who you don't know if they suck or not than it is to sell Brandon Whedon, who's a failed starter in this league. So I get that. But the reality is, if Rick Smith had a better thing to sell, he'd sell it. He doesn't have a better quarterback to sell.
But you know what I would respect? If they'd say, listen, we've had this guy here. We believe in him. He's been studying really hard. We think he can play. We don't know yet. Hopefully, he'll step in and take the reins that they're giving to him and perform at a level that we haven't seen here in a while. I'd be okay with that because you're not throwing stuff out there like we think he's proven he can play at a high level. No, he hasn't. Not even close.
Never has. Not even really in college.
That's the thing. And Brandon Whedon, at least you go back and say, boy, he was a winner at Okie State.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, he was
a like a Heisman candidate.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Window World of Houston. Lowering energy bills every month is just one of the benefits of double-pane energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. The double-hung windows mean the top and the bottom tilt for easy cleaning. That's always nice. Vinyl trim means you never have to repaint. That's nice. And American-made premium quality means the best for less, with a lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. So if you ever shoot a rock through it with the lawnmower, your kid throws a tennis ball through the window, no problem. They'll come fix it for free, and it's transferable, adds value to your home, and financing's available, guys. The windows start at just $189 per, and you're not going to find a better bargain in windows. Call Window World today. Get yourself a free estimate, 713-439-1172, or check them out online at windowworldhouston.com. It's Window World, simply the best for less.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number. So 6 o'clock, we'll go through the schedule. And we're not going to really have time to do it here before we get RJ on.
Okay.
So we'll do that at 6 o'clock. And we'll play a little game with it. Because I think it's one of the most pointless things that people do.
But everybody does it. It's kind of us included, yeah, by the way.
It's like getting married. People expect you to do it, even though it's a dumb thing to do.
It's stupid.
It is. But we'll do it. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Let's squeeze in a call from Daryl.
Hey, guys. If Tom Savage was on any other team, would he be a starter on any other team in the NFL or a second string? Thanks.
He could be a backup on a lot of teams. He would not start for any other team in the NFL.
And we kind of went through this a few weeks ago. Even Cleveland, wouldn't you feel a little bit better about Cody Kessler than you do about Tom Savage?
I saw more out of Cody Kessler last year in a few starts, in a handful of starts than I've ever seen out of Tom Savage. Cody Kessler came out of a more big-time college football program. He's got a better pedigree. I feel better about Cody Kessler than I do Tom Savage.
Well, and keep in mind, let's just look at this from...
And that's what they should have done. The Texans, when they made that trade with the Browns, instead of asking for some draft pick back in return, they should have said, hey, how about you throw us Cody Kessler? Because clearly the Browns are looking to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need Cody Kessler. Cody Kessler's about to get lost in the mix. Cody Kessler would at least... I'd at least be intrigued if he... I don't think Cody Kessler's going to be great. I'd at least be intrigued to see if he could be.
Well, and that's why I go back to I would trade for one of those backups that I liked coming out of the draft.
McCarron, Huntley,
or Garoppolo. And the
price on Garoppolo is absurd to me. I'm not looking to do that.
If that's actually the price.
You know, I was reading something about the Browns being interested in trading for him and willing to give up their 12th pick this year and a future first rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo. And my thought on that was, man, that's – and obviously any deal that the Browns would do like that would require Jimmy Garoppolo to agree to be their long-term quarterback, to a long-term contract.
Yeah,
So you can't do that with, like, the risk that he could just leave next year.
I'm not sure that – well, you could franchise him, but I'm not so sure that
– But you're not giving away two first-rounders for a guy you've got to franchise.
No, you're not doing that.
And so they would only do that if they could get a long-term deal done. Let's say that comes down to if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, do you really want to go to the Browns?
No, of course you don't.
Because it's not like you don't technically have a no trade, but if you say, hey, Cleveland, I'm not going to sign with you long-term. I'm going to stick it out, wait till next year, where I can be an unrestricted free agent, and I'll probably sign with the Texans or the Cardinals or the Broncos, someone who's got a better overall situation. No offense, but I just don't want to be here.
Well, you'd still have him for 2 years. You'd have him for this year, and you'd have him for next year if you franchise him.
If you franchise a guy who's done nothing and pay him top five quarterback.
Well, but what if you trade for him this year and he does do something?
Like what? Win you five games?
Well, what if he comes out and shows you that this guy can be your quarterback of the future? Then, yeah, you would franchise him and try to get a long-term deal done.
I wouldn't do it.
But the point is, and I think you're where you're kind of missing the point here, I don't believe that that's really been offered by the Browns. I think the Patriots are floating as much stuff as they can to drive the price up as high as they can and see what they can get for the guy. I don't think there's any way Cleveland likes him enough to give up two number one picks.
They'd be crazy. It would be so Browns if they did that.
But I don't. I so far though, these guys have made smart moves. I don't, since the new group has come in, I don't expect them to do something like that. I think the Patriots are floating this stuff out there so that somebody like the Texans will, you know, say, oh well, we'll give you two number ones for him. And realistically, if they trade him, I can't see him getting anything higher than a back end first round pick for him. And if you're the Patriots and you can get that, great. And if you, but you keep floating this stuff out there so that somebody says, oh, you know what? Maybe we trade up and get the 15th pick and trade that to them. I mean, that's, I think this is just the Patriots trying to set the market. I don't see any way the Browns would do that.
They shouldn't. Yeah. But the Browns have done crazier things than that.
They have, but I'm trying to give this group a little more, trying to give them a little more credit because, yeah, you know, it's easy to say, well, they're the Browns, but they have done some pretty good things. Like, I like what they did this offseason in terms of taking on that contract to pick up an extra pick. I like that they beefed up their offensive line. That offensive line has a chance to be as good as anybody in the AFC next year with the moves they made there. And that's how you rebuild and adding all these picks. I think this particular group looks like they're going about it the right way. If they trade two number ones for Jimmy Garoppolo, I will rescind that comment. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Now, if I'm the Texans, and I've said this all along, if the Patriots call me and say, we'll give you Garoppolo for number 25 right now, I would do it. I like him better than any of these other quarterbacks in the draft. I'd rather have a guy with a little experience. We talked about spread air raid guys. Well, here's an air raid guy who's been in the NFL now long enough to have learned, and I would take that chance. And if he comes in next year and he's a bust, okay, it's cost me a number one pick.
See,
but if you draft Patrick Mahomes, guess what? You're probably doing the same thing.
Yeah, I guess I would. I don't want Patrick Mahomes. I've made that clear. But I guess my thinking is I'm not giving up a first-round pick for 1 year of a guy who I don't know if he can play or not. And
I will. Because any quarterback you draft, you're going to have that question about.
Yeah.
No, you know,
but you have long-term control over those guys. And you've got some years to develop them. And
well, I would think, to me, this would be the perfect situation. Because you bring the guy in. He comes into a situation where if he can play, then he's got a good team around him. And if he has a big season, you're going to have to pay him anyway.
Yeah.
And that's great. And if he doesn't, well, it's cost you a first-round pick. You were probably going to invest it in a quarterback who 20% chance they developed into anything down the road. I would be okay with that. I would rather give up a pick for him. I like him better than any quarterback in this draft. If the Patriots called with that, I would do it. Doesn't mean he can play, but I liked him coming out of college, but same thing. He's a guy, spread air raid offense. Now, you know what would be funny? Say the Patriots made that trade with the Texans and then drafted Patrick Mahomes.
No. Texans fans would be sick.
Because you know what would happen. He'd be the next guy the Texans would be trading for in 3 years. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Nick says, I may be out of there, to be honest, but I think Kessler has some potential.
No, I like Cody Kessler. I think he's a good player. And I think, worst case, he's a very good backup quarterback. I think the Browns really blew it last year by not playing him down the stretch to see what they had. Because now they're talking about taking Mitch Trubisky when, hell, you can either have Cody Kessler or Mitch Trubisky for the next 3 years. Like, if you gun to head gave me that option, I might take Cody Kessler.
I might too.
But I mean, they could have found out what they've really got in that guy, and they chose not to, which is very odd.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky is not a, well, of the guys that everybody's talking about in the first round, I don't think I take Trubisky with any pick. I don't think I take Kaiser with any pick. Watson, I would take late. Mahomes, I don't know that I would take in the first round either. Even the tail end of the first round.
No, I wouldn't either.
So,
I think I'm with you. The only quarterback that I could, if I had the 25th pick, the only quarterback that would be on my board would be Deshaun Watson, and I don't think he'd be there at 25.
I don't think so either, because that's where he should go.
And honestly, if I had the 25th pick and he was the only quarterback on my board, when he was taken in front of me, I'd kind of sigh a sigh of relief. Like,
and then take Cam Robinson.
Okay, it's not on me. You know, it's not on me.
All right. Hey, guys, we are going to be at Saloon Door next week, and they're going to be celebrating their one-year anniversary next weekend, April 28th through the 30th. There's going to be numerous new beer releases, live music, outdoor activities, and much more throughout the weekend. And, hey, the new Saloon Door release we're most excited about. And I am excited about this because one of my favorite beers, Russian Imperial Stout. You can also stop by and try the Tasty AF, which is one of my favorites. Just won Houston Beer Guide's March Beer Bracket for Best Beer in Houston. We're going to be there next Friday from 4 to 7 while this one-year anniversary is going on. All you have to do is go to saloondoorbrewing.com to get more information. And Saloon Door is in Webster, so if you're heading down, maybe you're going out of Galveston this weekend, well, stop off there. Have a couple drinks. You can watch the Astros. You can watch the Rockets. They've got those projection TVs in there, so they've always got sports on. And it's just a cool place. And all kinds of beers to choose from. 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster, less than a half mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. That's Saloon Door Brewing, saloondoorbrewing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
And we are back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means. Time for the best segment of the week from America's gambling guru, hell with it, the world's gambling guru, founder of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
The legend
that is RJ Bell. What's up, RJ?
My cricket sharpness is not great, I can't lie. So I don't know if that hurts me in India, but I'll go with it.
I'll take Pakistan plus 110.
Take the dog.
Before the first wicket drops. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I'll take that.
You know, there's an Indian restaurant near the local radio station, and I eat there, you know, probably twice a month. And it is, they have like six TVs. and everyone's on cricket every time I go in there. I don't know if it was a feed or, you know, just a perpetual cricket feed, but it's pretty popular.
I'll tell you, Indian food is the one kind of food I can't mess with. I'm a very adventurous eater, and I'll eat almost anything, but every time I have Indian food, I end up sick.
It might be the quality.
I mean, I've tried very, very, very many different places. I just haven't found
one
yet.
All right, so whoa. Let's dig into this a second. So you've gotten sick pretty much every time, but you've eaten it many times.
Okay, maybe four or five over the course of my years, maybe four or five. And I'm not eating
all right,
like
so four. Let's get this one straight. Four times in, you're sick every time. Fifth time, your buddy says, "Let's go eat Indian." You're like, "All right, let's go for it."
I mean, probably, yeah. I'm easily pressured when it comes to food.
Very telling. Very telling, Fred.
Well, see, I'm with him.
What we know about AJ, right?
Well, but I'm kind of with him on Indian food, but my wife loves it, so I have to go get it all the time. And I'll be honest, man, it just doesn't agree with me. I don't know.
You know, it certainly is a different – and they use – to me, what's interesting about different types of food is when they fundamentally use different ingredients. Right. So, you know, Thai, Chinese, you know, very similar things. But when you get into the Indian, it's just totally different.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you're going to like it. Sometimes you're not when it comes to different types of food. But it's always interesting when it's so different. It's almost like when you look at the English alphabet and it's a foreign language. It's like, OK, I kind of get it. But then when it's a different alphabet, whole different ball game.
By the way, Thai food also wrecks my insides, but I find it so delicious that I eat it anyway.
Yeah. It's the good pain.
Yeah, it's the good pain.
Well, we got the schedule out last night, and there's already week one spreads up, which, is there a chance to find some early value here with these, or is this just more for our own informational purposes?
I think for sure. Now, here's some general advice, and I know you guys put out a gambling book or audio book, right, with a lot of kind of 101 tips. I think this is one that is right there with the most important beginner's tips. The earlier you bet from the time the odds are released, the better. Here's why. Imagine it's a pool hall. Right, I don't think I've used a billiards analogy with you guys. All right, so you walk in a pool hall, and it is literally, you know, they just opened 20 minutes ago, and there's six people in there. Your odds of being the best person in there are whatever they are. But that night at 9:30, when there's, let's say, 76 people in there instead of six, your odds of being the best person are obviously much less. When you bet against the opening number, for example, you're betting against a handful of people at a sports book. Now, these are professionals. Yeah, they're good. And they have the guts to put the world opener up. So they're very good. But you're betting against the opinion of a handful of people at that sports book. When you're betting an hour before the game, you're betting against those people. And every wise guy, computer program, algorithm, you know, inside information, whatever else it is that's going to sharpen that lineup, it's that money's been bet already. So to me, the perfect storm is bet a game 6 months ahead. Now, listen, there is concerns or it's a factor, the time value of money, right? The longer they hold your money, the less attractive any bet is. But I know guys like Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest champion. It works for us. Only guy ever to win the Super Contest twice, which is like the World Series of poker for sports betting. And he will bet, let's say when the season lines come out, which is going to be soon, like literally on every game they'll have a line in Vegas, he'll bet 25 or 30 games for the limit. Now, the limit's like 3,000. So it's a nice limit, but it's not a crazy limit. But he'll put 60 dimes in play the first 2 days. And he doesn't like having that 60 dimes sitting on the sidelines. But, man, he'll have game after game that he bet at -3. And come week seven, when that game goes, they're +1. Or I guess it'd be the opposite in that case. But, like, 4 or 5-point moves. So, in general, I really like betting early if you have a strong opinion. And I think if you told me you're going to take the same handicapper, the same bettor, and make version A and version B, right, replicas, and one guy bets against the openers and one guy bets against the, you know, 5 minutes before the game, I literally think the opener bettor has a 10 times better chance, not a little bit better, not 20% better, 10 times better chance to win in the long run.
Yeah, because like, I'm looking at the Giants plus six against Dallas, and I can't imagine that line's going to be that when we get to Sunday night, especially considering the Giants' record.
I think it's going to go down, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to go down.
Yeah. I agree. And that was – and let me – I think it might be fun to have a game or two or maybe four or five here that I got at least one sentence on, because I always think it's very telling, these lines, right? Home field is three. We know that. So that's the starting point in the NFL. I think this is a sign – if we look at Detroit favored by three hosting Arizona, that's saying Detroit and Arizona is even. To me, this is a sign Arizona is down, and obviously questions about Carson Palmer. Detroit up, I think, is the takeaway from that line. Cincy, I think, is staying down. They're only one hosting Baltimore. I mean, over a five-year period, Cincy's played, third or fourth best in the NFL, probably over a five-year period, maybe five or six, but right there, certainly in the top seven or so. And now they're 2 points worse than a Baltimore team that didn't make the playoffs last year. So I think that's the story there. I think the Rams are staying down. If you look at that game, the Rams are three-point home underdogs against the Colts. Not a very good road team, and the Colts obviously not very good last year at all. And you mentioned it, Dallas is staying up here. I think it's more about Dallas and anti-Giants, but six is a big number for sure. And Dallas doesn't have a great home field either. And lastly, I think Denver is down. This might be the biggest surprise. Denver is a four-point favorite at home against San Diego. So now you're telling me Denver is 1 point better than San Diego on a neutral? That's my takeaways.
That's good stuff. So that, but and will that kind of give us a hint toward what we think the win totals are going to be when you start looking at how these teams are being treated here with this opening line?
You know, it's almost like we planned this segment because it's a great segue. We know we didn't, but it's a great segue because I also have some takeaways. And these aren't all Vegas, but rather me applying my Vegas perspective to some general media reporting. But here's some interesting stuff on some teams that are, I think, pro or con. I think the schedule very pro for Pittsburgh. ESPN Pittsburgh, David Todd, guy in the ESPN family, does a real good job up there. Only one outdoor road game after October 15th. So 6 weeks or so, 5 weeks in the season, only one road game outside after that. Big Ben's been struggling on the road. I think that could be a big – in the weather, whatever factors it is, weather some of it, I think, sometimes. No short weeks for Jacksonville or Cleveland. And part of that is, hey, they're not playing primetime games Monday night or whatever. But still, short weeks get you out of your routine. So that's an advantage for those two. Raiders and Ravens, easy start to the season if you look at schedule, at least with our perception now how good these teams are going to be. And that's important because you'll see a team every year start out 4-1 and they end up being way overrated. You've got to look at strength of schedule early. Speaking of the Giants, this is a monster negative for the Giants. They play four teams coming off a bye. That is horrible. If you look at their combined rest over the season and their opponents' combined rest, the Giants have 22 less days of rest throughout the season. Worse than the NFL. And Giants have four trips into the Mountain or Pacific time zone. That's more travel than any Eastern team, except actually Jacksonville. And lastly, and this is shocking, I mean, it's almost like the NFL is trying to conspire against Los Angeles. The Rams and the Chargers will play the same day and time nearly half of their home schedules. So one city and about half the time they're at home, they're playing at the same time and the same day. I think it's going to hurt home field.
Well, and don't they both play in the same city at the same time, like three times? They have home games?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that they play their home games not only in the same city, but this, like you said, the same day and same time.
Yeah.
Like you said, it is a to me, it's almost like how couldn't you be thinking about that factor, right? You could obviously alternate who's home. Not that you can never have that, but then maybe have one game be a night game or one game be a 4 o'clock. I mean, no, it's just head-to-head.
I'm looking down at some of your notes here, and we've talked about the NFL coming to Vegas and obviously the NHL. So baseball is now considering a franchise in Vegas. And my second part of that is just how much do you think Vegas can sustain in terms of sports teams?
Well, you know what Da Vinci said? I'm sure you guys quote Da Vinci a lot. He said, you never know how far you can go till you go too far. So to me, I'm not sure, but I love the idea of us saying, man, there's too many teams here in Vegas, right? That means that's one of those good problems. That said, I'm a huge optimist for Vegas. One of our guys, David Malinsky, was featured in ESPN, the magazine, about the Las Vegas move. And he made an interesting point. Some Vegas people actually got mad at it. He's saying, listen, gambling as a percentage of overall revenue is going down. And if you look at the Young Bucks, the 20-somethings, they do not like the pit games. They don't like blackjack as much, craps as much, you know, go up and down. Baccarat, none of it as much. So now it's like, okay, we're going to try to make some video games that, you know, or video type gambling games that feel like, you know, Xbox or something. There's going to be some of that. But now we got to figure how we make this revenue up. And to me, the idea of taking that next step as a destination city and not just for gamblers, as Vince Chase would say, there are many Las Vegases, as he said on Entourage, is, you know, you might want a massage, you might want the strip club, you know, like you guys, you might want the bourbon joint like you guys, you might want the big meal like you guys. There's all kind of, well, you guys, it's the gambling too, so I don't know. You should be in Vegas. But the fact of the matter is, I love the diversification of the entertainment value proposition. And to me, more sports teams just means more diversification.
Yeah, and I think with the other teams we've talked about this, it's such a destination city. It's a place where you can go and follow your team. I just wonder about baseball with that many games, and now you've got other competition in there, if it can actually support all three of those. But we'll
yeah,
see.
That's an interesting point. But I also think this, right? People come to Vegas all year round. This is not one of those cities. Remember, there's no winter here. If anything, winter is a great time because you come here for – my parents actually have come out here. This is going to be my 19th year. It's 20th year coming up in January in Vegas. And all 19 years they've come for Thanksgiving. That's like the one time they come out every year. And it's the best thing ever, right? Because, one, we all know, let's be honest, all that cooking and the turkey and all that. I mean, the eating is great, right? But, I mean, it is a chore. Go get the stuff and go get this. We forgot the soda. You walk in, you could get so many places in town give you the whole turkey right at the table, right? And back in Ohio, you know, where I came from, it's 10 degrees. Out here, it's 60 degrees in Thanksgiving. So to me, the idea, obviously the heat in the summer would be an issue, so it might have to be a dome if they do it. But if you're out here for a convention or something and you're a fan of a team, the idea of swinging by, you know, going to the game that night, I think it would be supernatural. I mean, that steady tourism, I think, would help a lot.
RJ Bell, our guest, follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Hey, if we could switch it to the NBA for just a second, this is something I kind of did. I did in a couple of the hockey series too. When the best team gets down, you get a better series number. And now I'm looking at Boston plus 170, which is even a little bit lower than I was expecting. Is there value in things like that when you look at, okay, the Celtics are down 2-0, so now I'm getting a plus number on a series that I was getting a serious minus number when it started?
Usually I say be contrarian to recent results, right? You guys, probably what you're sick of that I say all NFL season, right? Who do you like in this game? Well, they did really well on Monday night, so I'm looking to go the other way. That's a steady kind of beginning handicap approach for me. But in a seven-game series where you only have to win four, every game you win is 25% of your ultimate goal, obviously. And to me, I think it can get a little tricky to say, oh, Boston's the better team. Though I would make the case that if there's been any series in which it's been a shock how well one team has played relative to the other, it would be that series, right? So I'm not saying Boston's not the better team, but I do think you've got to have made a power ratings adjustment on Boston and, down in Chicago up. Now, we've got the Rondo situation, right?
And that was what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. And that's easily quantifiable because if we actually look, before the injury, and I tweeted this out, like you said, at RJ in Vegas, the entire line move is line moves are listed with a timestamp. Is before the injury, Chicago was favored by one, and after the injury, now Boston favored by two. So, wow, 3-point move. Now, remember, moving through Pick'em isn't quite a full, because you go from one to Pick'em to one. So it's 2 points a move, right, from minus one to plus one, but it's really only two ticks. So really, one to one is only 1 point. So, you know, let's take a little bit away and say it's a 2-point move, but still, Rondo 2-point move is pretty significant. So I think that's a factor, too. By the way, one other thing on this series. And you guys, I'm guessing, have heard of this. Chicago hosts Boston on Sunday. Games on TNT. Chicago at home on TNT has won 20 straight games. 17-3 against the spread.
That's so crazy to me. That it'd be, I mean, it's such a random thing, but that's the crazy numbers you'll find when you dig a little.
I think you're right. That it's random. There is an element of randomness, but there's some teams, especially if you have older players, and let's be honest, Chicago is an old team this year, that they, that, you know, that the difference between a typical night and a big TV night, the effort level changes more than for, let's say, a Celtics.
But what,
so
I what I'm saying
something
is
something to it.
What I'm saying is, hey guys, before we head out onto the court, I just want you guys to know, game's not on ESPN tonight. It's on TNT, and everybody's like, what? And then they get hyped. I mean, it's just crazy. Like that's.
But let's be honest. A vast majority of those TNT games are Thursday games. I actually have the game by game listed on Twitter also. But the point I'm saying is, let's be candid. A Thursday TNT game is a much bigger game than a Tuesday ESPN game right now. If it's the pregame show or whatever the reason, it feels like those two featured Thursday games are the biggest games of the week, with the exception maybe of the, I would say, compared to the ABC games on Sunday, maybe. But I think it's right there.
All right. That's RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And RJ, just real quickly, because we always have new listeners, give them a quick overview of where else they can find you with your show and what all is going on at pregame.
Yeah, so we've got, I think the easiest way to say it is a ton of free picks, right? We'll talk theory. I just did a podcast with Fezzik, the guy we talked about, the champion, and we did an hour on the NBA playoffs, and it's still good. We just did that a couple days ago because we weren't talking about the next game but the entire series, and that's up right now. But it's really, people love the picks. And in the forums, we've got dozens and dozens of really good handicappers, not only giving their picks up at pregame.com, but also a analysis, so it helps you decide if you agree or not with the picks.
All right, always the best segment of the week, RJ, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
Hey guys, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. It's RJ Bell. All right, we're gonna take a very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.